Hello again, now it's Dementia Awareness Week. And there's been lots going on, not least from the excellent Older Persons Mental Health team here on the Isle of Man. Now a topic which is always uncomfortable when GPs and more significantly family members will often need to wrestle with is driving. Now let's have a look at this then. In the United Kingdom, approximately 80% of those aged between 60 and 69 hold a current driving licence, whilst about 60% of those aged over 70 do so. That's a lot of people. Dementia, as we know, is so much more complex than just loss of memory. Simply put, though, it involves a lot of brain executive function and information, sort of manipulation in so many areas. Often intermittent, at least initially. Variable in how it may be significant in one's day-to-day life. However, driving is often hardwired in later life. In other words, you've learned to drive a certain way, never had a problem, sensible, carefully method. You might be fine to drive for quite some time. But let's look at the what this actually means in theory. What do we need to be able to do to be a safe and competent driver? So executive functioning then. Planning a route, often a well-known one, often used for just, well, local shops or town. What about a sudden, unexpected change via roadworks or traffic flow to your destination? Are you okay? Well, those road signs. Probably so familiar, you and most of us probably can't remember which ones. Visuospatial judgment. Can you judge your distances? Are your eyes working well enough? Other road users, speed movements? Speed generally? Likely to be pulling out of junctions? Can you maintain your position on the road in a constant manner? This one is often what might alert other users or indeed the police to your activity. How many times have you all driven behind somebody who is moving about all over the road? We think, crikey, this guy's drunk, drugged, not well. We stay well away just in case. Others might take the number and call. Attention and concentration. Well, whilst driving, can you maintain attention to the road? Other road users, traffic movements, lane markings, signals, driving constantly in alert mode. Reaction times. Can you react appropriately if that child suddenly zips off the curb whilst letting go of mummy? That car in front of you suddenly coming to a halt for whatever reason? That traffic queue lumbering along, then the person in front suddenly slamming on the brakes? Memory. Can you plan a route not regularly used by you? Or an unfamiliar route completely, well, across the water perhaps? Clearly not everybody diagnosed with any form of dementia will need to necessarily stop driving immediately. It's an overlearned process for many, like brushing your teeth. And many of us will retain high functional levels of ability to drive, but it's something we all need to not take for granted. It's not a human right, a ticket for some of us, well, one of the few freedom tickets left. However, in law, it's none of these things. It's not a human right. It's not a freedom ticket. You can't take it for granted. It's not a given. And, well, the law looks at it in completely different lights, really. If, for example, you've been given a diagnosis of dementia, clearly stated as such, you must inform the licensing authorities. This is typically, though, mentioned and stated on multiple occasions throughout any assessment process, and shouldn't in practice be even slightly surprising. On the Isle of Man, your own GP will then be in contact from the DOI, the Department of Environment, Licensing Department, by letter from their team, who may ask for clarification of any written statement you offer on the supplementary form bit of the driving licence application. The letter to your GP also mentioning eyesight that must be in keeping with the up-to-date standards with or without glasses. This is where the GP sometimes will need some help. And this is where the GP may seek clarification or corroboration from others, with your permission, of course. Be it yourself, immediate family, outside sources such as a medical statement or clinic note from any appointment you may be attending. And sometimes a GP or clinic will ask for a driving assessment screening via a team of specially trained occupational therapists. In other words, sometimes multiple sources of information, before the doctor can or may state in writing that you are fit or unfit to hold a current driving licence. As we age, of course, the licence tunnel starts to close and narrow, and we will need more regular licence holder applications. Finally, just a few so-called red flags indicating potentially a problem with somebody's driving. No surprises, though, I think. For example, the police will occasionally write to us in party information such as near misses, at-fault accidents, their classic parking problems, hitting other cars, driving off without stopping afterwards, hitting a building, hitting a curb noticed usually by others, who may they ring the police expressing concern, speeding without due notice to the speed limits in any particular area, overly cautious or excessively slow driving or odd movements or swaying about the carriageway, poor judgment in the car, in-car manipulation or coordination issues in any given situation or odd behaviour as such. Now we have a problem. How does your nearest and dearest express concern that your driving is becoming an issue? Indeed, they may be so concerned for you and your own safety and their safety. A difficult but must-have discussion, sometimes, if not always, resulting in fairly heated arguments. Of course it does. It's a problem that needs addressing, however. It will not lie down, however you look at it. Getting suddenly lost on a familiar route. Your passenger needing to point out simple hazards, road movements of others, or indeed actively needing to get engaged with the whole process. That's not right. Time's up for this lot today, but during Alzheimer's Awareness Week, hopefully some of you found some of this stuff helpful, if not mildly alarming. Hopefully not. Goodbye.